Father, by the Holy Spirit, cause us to see and to hear what belongs to you and the Son, and now in Christ belongs to us too. Reveal it to our hearts, speak faith and hope into our lives, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So for those who are visiting, we've been going through 1 John, just a few verses at a time. And here we find John taking an emotional aside, interrupting his chain of thought in order to express amazement at what God has already given to us as believers and how that offers hope in the face of what may yet come. In verse 1, we see that as Christians, we are children of God now. Notice how God is described in that first verse. Father. Do you know any other religion whose God is described as Father, whose followers are his children? The God of Islam is Allah. He has no son, so he can't be called Father. Our God, Yahweh, is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, the love of God is the Father's love. The consequence and proof of the love of God is being and being called children of God. The love of God is described as a gift, which means we can do nothing to merit it. If you've been born again by the Holy Spirit, you belong to such a godly family, the family of God. You can rightly call the holy and almighty God Father. You are his beloved child, more precious to him than any child is to their earthly father. As a child of God, you are an heir. And your inheritance is not, as some would cynically say, out of this world. Paul puts it this way: the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we might also be glorified with him. This new position, our standing of being a child of God in the family of God, should shape how we think, how we live, how we relate to the many temptations of this world in which evil expresses itself at every turn. We see back in chapter 1, verse 7 and 2, verse 1, that the love of God is the ground of the saving work of Christ. In this sense, only those who've an experience of knowing Jesus as Saviour can speak of the love of God as an experience reality. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, some of you may have remembered that name, a well-known Baptist Bible teacher, writes, "Children of God, I do feel that this is perhaps the greatest weakness of all in the Christian church, that we fail to realize what we are or who we are." Martin Lloyd goes on to say that most of our unhappiness is due to our failure to relate our trials to our glorious position as children of God. He adds, "If only we realized who we are." The more we read the New Testament, the more we'll be impressed by the fact that every appeal for conduct and good living and behavior is always always in terms of our relationship. Godly behavior rests on our understanding of our true and great position as children of God. You may have already noticed that the world is a theme not just in John's writing, but in the Apostle Paul's too. However, the world's ignorance about God or failure to acknowledge God has with it a kind of reciprocal lack of recognition among believers that we are children of God. Moving on to verse 2 and 3. Our future hope is that when Jesus comes, we will be like him. It's a characteristic of Christian eschatology, that is, of the life to come, to speak with reserve about life beyond death or the kingdom of God as it will be in the new creation. For now, our knowing now, the most important fact is the Christ-centered nature of the life to come. That we shall be modelled after who Christ is, even though that can only be fully known when the time comes. Why should we be hesitant? We can speak with confidence about the kingdom of God, God's rule and his reign, and about the new creation, of which we can see glimpses in the unspoiled beauty of the earth, and in lives and landscapes transformed by Jesus. But how are we to respond to God's love in the context of the now and not yet of his kingdom? Purification is not a term that sits comfortably in our milieu, other than in a context of scientific research, the production of pharmaceuticals, biochemicals, or maybe, if you've been on holiday, religious rituals somewhere in the Far East. But if we can think of purification as preparation, perhaps we can get a handle on it. Just a little aside. Thank you for praying for Richard and Suzanne. Richard, having returned from Nepal, secured a very comfortable job with a company called Paul. They're into biomedical filtration. The new project involves taking a lot of gloop, biomass, and putting it in a bag automatically so that somebody else can filter that gloop and at the end purify it and get out of it something that you'll buy in Boots the week after next if they're really quick. Takes a little longer than that. Purification, preparation for something that's to come. John implies living in response to God's love by obedience to the commands of Jesus is the manner in which our conduct prepares us as children of God. The end point of that purification is complete holiness. Another word we sometimes use is sanctification, about being made holy, albeit a pure reflection of the holiness that will be ours at the end when we stand before God, our Father, and when Jesus says, I know you. If we're children of God who reveals himself with that intimate word, Abba, then we become adopted as sons and daughters of God. I guess for many, our earthly experience of our fathers is one of those stumbling blocks to knowing and accepting God as our Father. That's not to say that you might have in your mind a wonderful image of a father and imagining how Father God will far exceed that. If you have a stumbling block in knowing God as Father, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to your spirit the truth that in Jesus you are a child of God, and bring to God any difficulties you may have in knowing him as Father. If you struggle with knowing what are wise choices, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you those choices of things of the world that you make which have nothing to do with a father and isolate you from him. Be encouraged by these words in Jude, verse 1. Here we find a threefold action of God in calling, loving, and keeping. To those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. Called, loved, and kept for Jesus Christ. Imagine being kept for the Son of God. To enter into this intimate relationship with God, we must first acknowledge that we are born sinners, separated from God by our sin. Then, in humility, we must come to God, recognizing that He has sent Jesus to come to us in order that we might be forgiven. And like the prodigal in Jesus' parable, be restored to our rightful place in the household of God as those who are dearly loved children of God. See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children, and that is what we are.